Board. Our main speaker tonight is Paul.
Thank you. My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. And it's only by the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous that I didn't have to drink today. It's good to be here and it's good to be sober. I don't know if it's hot or I'm nervous. Maybe it's both. I forgot that Park Avenue in July is only 3 miles from the sun. You know, and anyway, it's good to be here and it's good to be sober. It's a big group and I'm a little nervous. I'm hoping my accent doesn't throw you off. As you probably realized, I'm not originally from this country. It's about 20 years now since I left my native Cuba. And but I grew up in Ireland, the north of Ireland, near Belfast. And I grew up from an alcoholic standpoint. I grew up in the sort of a neighborhood, if you didn't drink, you moved. Everybody drank. I didn't know anybody that didn't drink. And not only do we drink a lot, we also talk fast, drunk or sober. It reminds me of the first night I ever spoke at an AA meeting. It was over in Bill Wilson's old group, the Brooklyn group. I know how you are, had like 90 days, I'm so nervous. This guy says to me, listen, Paul, just get up there, take a deep breath, it's your story, and let him have it. I said, all right. I got up there. I took a deep breath. I let them have it. The only problem was I didn't take another breath. Half the room was dazed. The other half of the room was confused. Some of them thought I was speaking Gaelic. Some of them thought I was still drinking. But people in AA are very kind and benevolent. You know, they come up afterwards. They were like, oh, thank you for sharing. I really got a lot out of what you said, I think. You know, were you always able to speak in tongues or did you just acquire this after you got sober, you know? But hopefully it won't be like that tonight, you know. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about how it was and what happened and how it is today. Maybe a little bit about the program. Got a lot of ground to cover. Hopefully by about 9:30, 9:45, I should be able to wrap it all up. I just seen the blood drain on a newcomer's face here, you know. Is that what they mean by willing to go to any lengths, you know? I've got to listen to this guy for 2 hours. But if you are a newcomer here tonight, I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to welcome you to the greatest fellowship on the face of this earth. And I was said earlier on, I don't care how deep and how dark and how painful your life might seem right now. As far as I'm concerned, you're just 12 steps away from a new life. That's all, just 12 steps away. And as far down as you go with drink, it's been my experience that you can come up and then summon Alcoholics Anonymous. And you mightn't get everything back that you lost through drinking. But because of Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll be able to live with the consequences. And that's been my experience. And after being around here a while, I found out that some of the stuff I lost, I didn't really need to begin with. And that's why I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because most days I can tell you what I want, but I come here to find out what I need. You know, and the flip side of that is if you're an old timer, I want to thank you for keeping that door open. Because guys like me died drunk. Died drunk on the street somewhere, far from family and friends and loved ones. And it's never good and it's not pretty. And maybe on a more sinister level, maybe you're sitting out there like I was at one time. And you're off drink for a while. And you're saying to yourself, is this it? Is this all there is? And you've been taken out that door by the twin killers of the alcoholic, resentment and self-pity. And you don't even know you're going. I hope you can do what I had to do. And that was drop my judgment against all the program. And get into the entire 12 steps of AA. And get all the blessings and benefits that a sober life has to offer in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? I love Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the last thing I tried and the first thing that ever worked. I ran around half the world looking for what I found in AA. You know what it is when you're drinking, you get to the bar and they go, oh man, you should have been here last night. You're like, oh no. And you run to the next bar and they go, oh, you should have been here an hour ago. Ah, back to the last bar. Searching, searching, searching. I came to AA and I finally found a home. James Joyce, the Irish writer, has a great line from one of his books. And he said, he's talking about Dublin, but it's so indicative of what happens in AA. He says, here comes everybody. And that's the way I feel in Alcoholics Anonymous. Gender, color, creed, if you say you're an alcoholic, I identify. When you talk about you, I find out about me. Because I know, I might not have stood next to you drinking, but I know you've experienced terror, frustration, bewilderment, and despair. I know you put a drink to your lips as the tears rolled down your face and you drank it anyway. I know that friends and family and loved ones pleaded with you not to drink and you drank. I know you drank it when you're mad, sad, glad, didn't know why you got started and couldn't stop once you did. I know you walked the floorboards in the morning wondering where in God's name you're going to get the money for an eye-opener. I know you stood outside liquor stores and bars glaring at your watch wondering whether ever going to open because every nerve end in your body was screaming for a drink. I know that because you tell me you're an alcoholic. I know that because I'm an alcoholic. You know? I didn't set out to be an alcoholic. It wasn't on my to-do list. Or to use a current pejorative, it wasn't on my bucket list, you know? No, you guys go ahead skydiving. You see this comfortable gutter over here? I'm going to drink myself into that, you know? But that's what happened. You know? Now, I wouldn't speculate in your case, but I used to get in a lot of mental gymnastics when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. Why did I become an alcoholic? Where did I become an alcoholic? When did I become an alcoholic? What came first, the allergy, the obsession? And what about the neurosis? And did I have a genetic predisposition because I'm Irish, you know? The Irish virus and all that nonsense. I realize today I just have to accept the fact I'm an alcoholic. My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. That tells me who I am, what I am, where I am, and most importantly, what I need to be doing. And if I know that, I'm all right. And when I'm all right, guess what? Everything and everybody around me is all right too, even if it's not. So AA eventually got me all right. It got me to come to terms with the past so I could live in the present for the future, which is the rest of today. But if I was to speculate in my own case, it was certainly a case of alcohol in a bottle and alcoholism in a person. I had a lot of the traits of this disease long before a drink ever passed my lips. As a kid growing up in Northern Ireland, I was irritable, discontent. I had that stone in the shoe feeling. When I was over there, I wanted to be over here. When I was upstairs, I wanted to be downstairs. If you asked me what was wrong, I couldn't have told you. But something's not just right. I couldn't put my finger on it. Real alky stuff, all below the radar, under the skin, other side of the horizon, just, you know. And then I took drink, you know. There's been two turning points in my life. The first night I took drink and the first night I walked in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Basically, both times I was looking for the same thing. Alcoholism is a form of spiritual thirst. Not a very elevated form, but a form nonetheless. See, long before I took drink, the search was on. There was a yearning, there was a need, there was a want, there was a desire. For whatever reason, I don't know and God's not telling me. I ended up with a hole in my soul. And I tried to fill it with booze and people and places and things. And every victory that I had before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous was purely symbolic and fleeting at best. So I took that drink. And someone was saying earlier on, drinks does something for an alcoholic that it doesn't do for the normal or heavy drinker. And if drink does for you what it does for me, you're coming back for more. I took that drink that night. The stones out of the shoe, the knots out of the stomach. It's like someone finally opened the top button of my shirt. I could be everything I thought you wanted me to be. And for a chronic people-pleasing alcoholic like me, with low self-esteem, it was a magic elixir, it was a potion. You know? But it says in one of our books, alcohol is a rapacious creditor. Booze will give you a lift, it'll give me a lift. When it comes time to pay the freight, watch out. In The Merchant of Venice, Shylock just wanted a pound of flesh, not this disease. It'll take your job, your car, your wife, the shirt off your back. But what it really wants is me 6 feet under. I know that today. Of all terminal diseases, this is the most terminal. If I hadn't stopped drinking, drink is going to stop me. I'm not around here a lifetime, but I'm around here long enough to know what happens if you take your eye off the ball. This disease will kill you stone dead, with or without drinking your body. I don't need booze in my body to burn my life to the ground. I can do it with untreated alcoholism. Almost did. So, looking back on it, it was a Faustian bargain. It was a deal with the devil. Booze gave me a lift to the old story. Give me the wings to fly. And then it took away the sky. You know, I took that drink. If you'd have told me where I was going to end up 15 years later, I'd have said, can't happen, no way. You must be thinking of somebody else. But that's what it did. And the acceleration of this disease in my life was astonishing. I took a drink at 14 or 15. Within 6 months, I'm getting my stomach pumped out in hospitals. Before I'm out of my teens, I'm a daily drinker. Before I'm out of my teens, I'm taking morning drink. And there was people that loved me. There was people that reached out to me. But I'm saying, hey, alcohol is not the problem. You're the problem. He's the problem. This is the solution. See, I know why I drank today. I drank because for a long period of my life, alcohol was a suitable treatment for the disease called alcoholism. It worked like a charm, but then it stopped working. But you couldn't tell me that as a 20-year-old guy. And my life's falling apart around me. I'm living in Northern Ireland, the height of the troubles. Working class Catholic from the wrong side of the tracks. Got a big chip on my shoulder. In fact, a guy said to me one time, you know something, Paul? You're a well-balanced guy. I'm thinking to myself, finally somebody that knows what they're talking about around here, you know? He says, yeah, you got a chip on both shoulders, you know? I hated everything. I hated everybody. But I was starting to despise the man I was becoming. But I'm an alcoholic. It's no coincidence I'm standing in New York with an Irish accent. I'm a runner, a long-distance runner. Always looking to change. I'll never change. I don't want to change the inside. I want to change the outside. I want to change people, places, and things. Looking back on it, I was always looking for an outside fix for an inside job. AA 101, happiness is an inside job. I never knew that. What was I looking? Basically, what I was looking for a three-dimensional solution to what's really a fourth-dimensional problem. Lack of power was my dilemma. I needed power in my life. And I sought power in booze and people and places and things, but only brought me so far. So I'm into changing the environment. I'm thinking to myself, Northern Ireland's no good. If I was in a place like America, there's a place a guy like me could really make us move, you know? I go home and I said to my folks, I said, listen, Dad, I'm going to America. My mind's made up. Don't even try to talk me out of it. He says, talk you out of it, I'll help you pack when you're leaving. On you go, Columbus. Let me give you some fatherly advice. Turn left at Greenland, you know? I'm like, I'll show them. In a week, they'll be begging me to come back. And like driftwood, I washed up on Rockaway Beach. Nobody drinks in Rockaway, right? You know? It's amazing the alcoholics got that built-in GPS system, you know? You could have blindfolded me and put me in a sack. I'm going to find a neighborhood that drinks as much, if not more, than the one I just left, you know? And I realized, much to my chagrin, that Fortune 500 companies don't do a lot of recruiting under the boardwalk. I don't know why. So I ended up in Plan Z, which is working in a bar. Now, I know we've all been in crazy bars. I worked in the craziest of the craziest bars, believe me. This place made the bar from Star Wars look like the Oak Room at the Plaza, you know. It was a sort of a bar you got thrown into rather than out of, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this bar had it all, alcoholics, drug addicts, degenerate gamblers, and that was just the staff, that wasn't even the customers, you know. I'll just give you a mental picture and I'll move on. If you want to see a full set of teeth in this bar, you needed 32 customers, and I mean male and female. But water finds its own level, and I fit it in like a glove. And I'm off to the race. I've experienced every form of drinking. I was a weekend drinker, a daily drinker, morning drinking, binge drinking. But the drinking that done me in, I became like a periodic alcoholic. I go on these round-the-clock drunks. And the drunks, you know the equation. The drunks get longer, and the period between them gets shorter. And I drink, and I drink. And then I reached a point in my life where I was trying to stop drinking. Putting X, like it says in our book, chapter 3, I'm putting X's on calendars. I'll stop for this. I'll stop for that. I'm taking notes. I'm making proclamations. I'm swearing on your life. I'm swearing on my life. And I drink again. And I drink again. And I drink again. I'm at the point in my life now, I'm drinking against my own will. I remember lying in a hospital bed one time, on alcoholic convulsions in a bar. I was brought to a hospital. Woke up in a restraining sheet. Strapped to a bed. There's a woman who's my wife today. Stand at the edge of the bed, and I was as beaten as I've ever been beaten by alcohol. And I wasn't trying to be cinematic, but I reached out through the rail and I took her hand when they took the restraining cuffs off, and I said, listen, I will never, ever drink again. And I meant that with every ounce of conviction in my body. And we left that hospital, and she was nervous, and I was nervous, and a few days go by, and I'm still thinking about drink. But I said to myself, surely to God, if I just hang in there, the obsession will go away. A week goes by, the stone's back in the shoe. 2 weeks go by, the knot's in the stomach. 3 weeks go by, the top button feels tight all the time. It feels like everybody's on my case, even if they're not. And the fuse is getting shorter and shorter. And it's a funny type of insanity. It's not the sort of insanity, not that like Victorian halls of bedlam, straggly hair, frothing at the mouth. It's not that type of insanity. It's this long, slow, prolonged internal scream. I just want to grab somebody and say, you know what, I'm losing it. I'm not drinking. People tell me not to drink. I'm not drinking it. I'm losing it. See, I didn't realize that I suffer from alcoholism. Alcohol is but a symptom of a deeper underlying problems. My life doesn't get better when I stop drinking. Oh, physically I might feel better. Aesthetically I might look better. But where the rubber meets the road, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I'm a beaten docket. I'm a blank page. I'm a zero. Put an X in the calendar because I'm drinking again. And that's what happened. I drink again. Where do I end up? I'd like to tell you, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous a few weeks after that. I drank for 4 or 5 more years after that. At the end, up, I'm 30 years of age. I'm sitting in an apartment. Everybody's gone. Everything's gone. Nobody wants to hear anymore. I've burnt every bridge. Bill Wilson sums up the end of an alcoholic's drinking as best I've ever heard it. He says, quicksand stretched all around him. Boy, can I identify with that. No matter which way I turned, there was nowhere to go. I'm sitting in my apartment drinking around the clock against my own will, knowing loneliness that only an alcoholic can know. Life with drink terrified me. Life without drink terrified me. Our book called The Jumping Off Place. Someone put a note under my door with the guy's telephone number on it. And I picked up the phone and I called a complete stranger. And he had been primed that I might call. And I said to him, I can't stop drinking, I can't stop drinking. He said, you can't stop drinking because you're an alcoholic. I said, maybe my accent's throwing you off. I didn't say I was an alcoholic. I just said, I can't stop drinking. I think we're kind of like lost in translation here, you know? I mean, the pride and ego of the alcoholic knows no bounds, right? I'm literally lying in the gutter looking down on people, you know? This guy hadn't had a drink since 1961. He drank himself in out of straitjackets. He says, Paul, do you believe in God? And I came out with this tired, almost fatigued response. See, I grew up in Northern Ireland where people literally shot each other outside the front door over religion. I used to say, God, you never come down our street very often. And me and God parted ways, and it wasn't like some MGM up on top of a mountain, Charlton Heston, thunder and lightning. It was very subtle. That's how the lower power works in my life. And I just drifted away. It's like a plane flying off course. It doesn't have to go way off course, just 1 or 2 degrees. But long enough and far enough, it's completely lost. And that's where I was. I've been running my life for 15 or 16, maybe more years. I hadn't got on my knees. And there wasn't a day went by I didn't think about killing myself. And I realized that booze had failed me completely. And it's something to realize when you're sitting there and everything's gone and everybody's gone and you realize you backed the wrong horse. And I did. And thank God, God didn't keep me waiting as long as I kept him waiting. I got down on my knees and I cried out to a God that I wasn't even sure existed. I says, please help me. And I felt like someone walked up behind me and took a great weight off my shoulders. A sense of peace came over me that I've never experienced before or since. And I started to worry and fret, and the other feeling kept suppressing it, that I'm sitting on the floor totally at peace. And this thought came into my head, you don't have to drink again if you don't want to. The guy came to the door. I told him what I just told you. He said, Paul, you had a spiritual experience. It'll get you sober, but it won't keep you sober. We got to get you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was too sick to go then, but 4 days later, I arrived at my first meeting, and walking through that door is the greatest singular event in my life. Unbeknownst to myself, I was moving from the problem to the solution. But then I made my next big mistake. I started to think for myself. This guy was a snowbird. He went down to Florida, and I sat around the rooms of AA, making all the right noises, which you can do. Get all the sound bites down when it comes my turn to share. And I'm sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think my problem is alcohol. And I almost died in the rooms of AA, thinking my problem was alcohol rather than alcoholism. And I'm sitting there, I'm smiling, but it's off in the teeth out. And people are saying to me, how are you doing, Paul? Oh, I'm wonderful. Just like the boy whistling in the dark. I'm coming apart at the seams. And I wanted to stand up, but my pride and ego wouldn't let me. I wanted to stand up at the meeting and go, excuse me, I know you're all so happy, joyous, and free. Does anybody know when my ship's coming in? Is it nearby? You know, if I go to the boardwalk, can I see it? You know? The guy said, listen, Paul, you don't get a ship coming in unless you send a ship going out. There's no free lunches in Alcoholics Anonymous. You get through that door in the grace of God and everything you have to work for. And I thought I was doing the deal. They talk about the three legacies of Alcoholics Anonymous. Unity. I said, I got unity. I understand the we. I understand the first word of the first step. I understand many meetings make it easy, few make it hard, and none make it impossible. I've been to about 700 meetings in 2 years. Well, that's probably one of the reasons you're still sober. What about service? Service? I'm making more coffee than Juan Valdez. What do you mean, service? I didn't really get the service thing right away. When I first came into AA and they asked me to make coffee, my immediate reaction was, like everything in early AA, I wanted to tell you how I felt. You know, and I said to the guy, well, listen, let me tell you how I feel about making coffee. I'm not sleeping too well right now, and I'm a little depressed, and I got this pain at the back of my neck. It's probably nothing, but you never know, you know, and... This guy said to me, how long are you sober, Paul? I said, about 9.5 minutes. And he says, do me a favor. I'm sober for a while. I feel you should make the coffee. So make the coffee, and you can tell me how you feel about it afterwards, you know? I remember making that coffee my first time. I'm saying, what sort of an outfit have I got hooked up with? The only guy that can get to make coffee is a depressive insomniac with a brain tumor. You know what I mean? I should be in a neurologist's office. But anyway... So I got the unity and I got the service. The guy said to me, Paul, what about door number 3? Recovery. Zippo. Nothing. I was hoping that if you did the steps, I'll feel better. Hey, it doesn't work that way. And see, I wanted to mystify the whole process. She got it, but he didn't get it. And they got it, but I'm not going to get it. Because see, that gave me some wiggle room. And you give me a loophole, I'm right in it. And I'll burn my life to the ground with or without drink. And the guy said to me, listen, Paul, let me tell you something. You're going to die. You're dying, and you don't even know it. And you're dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You're like a starving man at a spiritual banquet. There's all this food on offer. And I'm sitting over in the corner living on bread and water. And I'm spiritually atrophying. I'm just dying from the inside out from untreated alcoholism. And the guy said to me, Paul, it's all right here, as much as you want. And he said to me, Paul, listen, let me tell you something. This program is never for people that need it. It's not even for people that want it. It's for people that do it. It's that simple. You do it, you get it. You don't do it, you don't get it. It's that simple. Nobody gets left behind. And I was dumb, but I wasn't stupid. I knew to go forward was to go to something. Not to go forward was to backslide to nothing, which was drinking. And I found out in AA that something beats nothing every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And see, this whole program is against my personality. Irish, stoic, stuff everything. Don't tell nobody nothing. Close the curtains. Have another drink and you'll be all right. You know? That might have flew in the bar. But living in here with barroom mentality wasn't flying too far in here. I had to learn to march to the beat of a different drum. And I got into the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not saying the steps are the panacea for every problem I was going to have, but they brought me to a point in recovery where I could decide what was my work, what was God's work, and where I needed outside help. And I needed outside help. They helped me use the old army game of divide and conquer. See, I'm sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous with two hefty bags full of garbage. I'm carrying stuff around from the schoolyard. I'm defending it. I'm justifying it. I'm rationalizing it. But you don't know what happened to me. So what? You know what these steps helped me to do? The one thing I could never do. The one thing I was looking for alcohol to do. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be free from the one person I could never get free from. Me. I wanted to live in the one place I could never live. Right here, right now. And that's what AA taught me to do. A day at a time. I don't do it perfectly. There's days I'm sober and there's days I don't drink. But I hung around here long enough to know the difference. I've got a tools that I've designed for living. I've got a program that works under all conditions where I don't have to drink no matter what. And I was an alcoholic who drank no matter what. For me, this is the easier, softer way. You know? And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so blessed for Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I know where I'd be today. Our book tells, our literature talks about it. Jails, institutions, and death. And once you've been to the first two a few times, the third one starts to look like a good option. I never took sobriety for granted, but I took AA for granted. There's a bank over there, and there's a store over there, and over there there's a church where there's meetings twice a week. It's there, I'm there, what's the big deal? I got into the history of AA, and I realized a left turn there and a right turn there, and I don't know where I would be today. I feel richly blessed that I was born in a time and a place that had Alcoholics Anonymous. Since man first crushed grapes, there's been people like us. Couldn't fit in, took drink, couldn't fit in, ran at life with drink, ran away from life with drink. I was like a visitor in my own life. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. I was lost on a sea of booze. No moral or spiritual compass. If there was any coordinates, it was pain and misery. And it wasn't a glacial drift. I was moving at a fast clip to nothingness and nowhere. And everything I built was built on sand, and one drink came along and washed it all away. And I wanted people to judge me by my intentions, but I didn't intend to do that. But the world out there was judging me by my actions, and my actions were abysmal when me and alcohol got together. AA allowed me to, people say, it gave me a new life. People say, oh, I got my life back in AA. I don't want my life back. It sucked. You can keep it. I got a whole brand new life in Alcoholics Anonymous. Are there people in my life that were there when I was drinking? Absolutely. But everything's on a different footing today. And I found out what's really important. Dr. Bob said it back in 1950. Love and service. That's where I got to be. Those are the two pillars I have to live between. Unconditional love. Not only for the people in here, but the people out there. See, I was into that, the normies and the earthlings and all. No, guy to me, Paul, listen, you dragged yourself to the edge of society drinking. Don't be doing it in Alcoholics Anonymous. AA is part of the world and the world's part of AA. See, I'm in here because I can't live out there. I couldn't live in a world that was rude, crude, unjust, indifferent, and everybody's out to get me. I don't know who they actually are, but they're out there and they're going to get me. That makes for difficult living. This over-the-shoulder type living. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned how to live in here so I could live out there. I learned how to love in here so I could love out there. Unconditional. I learned how to give and give. See, I'm the sort of a guy, this program tells me, I like to give till I feel warm and fuzzy. Not this program. Not the self-centered alcoholic I am. I got to give over and over and over till it hurts. I don't mean altruism to the point of personal or family neglect, but I know today I'm the problem. I've always been the problem. I'll always will be the problem. Everywhere I went, I was there. And the first thing that went up on the table was me and my alcoholism and destroyed every, it was a corroding fabric or a corroding thread in the fabric of my life, as our literature says. And I learned how to live in Alcoholics Anonymous, to serve, to give, to freely give that was freely given to me. You know? Dr. Bob summed it up in two words, love and service. I got to stay in service in Alcoholics Anonymous and unconditionally love another alcoholic. And I love AA. As I said, I went round the world looking for what I found in here. You know? I just want to end on one story. Over in Ireland, they never had Alcoholics Anonymous. 1946, a guy went to visit another guy. Sat down. The guy was from America, had 2 years sobriety. He's sure this guy had been drunk. Detoxed 40 or 50 times, couldn't get sober. And the guy sat down and shared his experience, strength, and hope with them. And that guy, Richard Percival, got up out of his bed in Ireland in 1946, and those two guys started AA in Ireland. That's the power an Alcoholics Anonymous has. Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson discovered the Rosetta Stone. They cracked the code. One alcoholic working with another alcoholic, chain-like, and another, and another, and another. That's why our singleness of purpose is so important. One alcoholic working with another. And our traditions are so important. so we don't collapse under the weight of our own self-will like our old ancestor, the Washingtonians. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Most alcoholics die drunk. They don't even get here. I feel richly blessed that I got here, and thank you very much.